live from WBEZ Chicago. This is The Morning Shift. I'm Jen White. Every 3 years, the United States and Canada convene for the Great Lakes Public Forum. It's a chance for both parties to talk about the health of the Great Lakes. The event is being held in Milwaukee this year. It brings together U.S. and Canadian officials to hear from the public on everything from invasive species to discharge from vessels to habitat restoration. Over the weekend, the U.S. governors and Canadian premiers from states and provinces bordering the lakes also held meetings in Milwaukee to discuss drinking water issues, Asian carp, and more. Joining us now to talk about the details of those two conferences and the overall health and safety of the fresh water in the Great Lakes is Molly Flanagan, Vice President of Policy at the Alliance for the Great Lakes. Molly, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Jen.
So before we dig into the health and safety of the water in the Great Lakes, first off, two conferences here, one with federal officials, one with leaders of states and provinces. Big picture, what are the goals of these two gatherings?
I think the goals of both gatherings are very similar, and the federal government and state governments both have critical roles to play in terms of protecting and restoring the Great Lakes. And both the U.S. and Canadian federal governments and state and provincial governments want to make sure that the Great Lakes are safe for the people who live and work around the region.
Now, we're in a time when there's quite a bit of new leadership in terms of governors and premiers. I think there's, seven new governors or eight new governors? Go ahead.
We have five new governors.
Five, actually. I overestimated.
But two new premiers, so seven total.
And what does that new leadership mean for the way these meetings are happening?
So this was the first time that these new administrations were able to meet face-to-face and actually talk about their priorities for the Great Lakes. And I think having new leadership in the region provides a new opportunity to set a vision for Great Lakes protection to ensure that they're safe and healthy for the people who live and work here.
How has cooperation worked in the past between Canada and the U.S.?
Cooperation between the two governments is actually pretty good, and we have an agreement called the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement that sets priorities for Great Lakes protection and restoration, and then the two federal governments work together to try to achieve those priorities. And one of the critical ways that the United States tries to deliver on those Great Lakes priorities is through something called the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, which is pumping significant federal dollars into projects and communities across the region.
And what are we hearing from Illinois' new governor, J.B. Pritzker, around these issues?
We're really pleased that the governor of Illinois recently signed on to a project to support efforts to stop Asian carp from getting into the Great Lakes. Asian carp are these, you know, grow up to 100 pounds, and they're the fish you see flying through the air, and it looks kind of funny on YouTube videos, but it's actually terrifying. There's a proposal to put in additional protections at a place called Brandon Road Lock and Dam near Joliet, Illinois. And the state of Illinois, led by Governor Pritzker, has signed on to be the non-federal sponsor and to work with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to make sure that Asian carp don't get into Lake Michigan.
And what does it mean that Illinois would be the non-federal sponsor?
So what it means is that they are actually signing on to be the non-federal partner with the federal government to move those protections forward. And so that requires them to work with the federal government on the design of the project and also to raise and provide some funding for the non-federal cost share portion of the project.
And when we talk about Asian carp, which is something that we've heard a lot about in recent years, what's the danger they pose to the Great Lakes?
Yeah, so they pose a threat both to the environment and economy of the Great Lakes. Asian carp eat a lot, and they reproduce multiple times a year. And so they're able to outcompete a lot of native fish. And in parts of the Illinois River where we have Asian carp, they make up more than 90% of the biomass in the river. And then the Great Lakes themselves support a $7 billion a year sport fishing industry and a $16 billion a year recreational boating industry. And having Asian carp flying through the air and hitting people that are fishing and boating on the Great Lakes would certainly be catastrophic for those tourism industries.
And how close have they gotten to Lake Michigan?
They're about 50 miles away.
Okay. And in terms of the health of the river, how close is that? Because 50 miles sounds like a long ways away, but Is it really in this context?
I mean, I would say it's too close for comfort, but it's far enough away that we have a real opportunity to prevent them from getting into the lake.
That's Molly Flanagan. She's Vice President of Policy at the Alliance for the Great Lakes. And we're talking about the health and safety of the Great Lakes and how U.S. and Canadian officials are gathering together to figure out the best ways to protect this essential freshwater resource. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll explore the challenges airlines face as they try to go green. Now, Molly, one interesting tidbit is that the plan you talked about for fortifying the Brandon Road Lock and Dam near Joliet. It includes loudspeakers, electric cables, and something called an air bubble curtain. Can you explain how this works?
Yeah, so you can sort of think of it as a fish disco that no one wants to go to. So it's not the kind of disco you want to party at.
Right.
And so those different elements that you talked about, the air bubble curtain, the electric barrier, the acoustics, are meant to layer together to essentially keep fish from entering Brandon Road Lock and getting through it. And so the fish, they don't like the sound. The electric barrier actually shocks them, so they swim away or are rendered unconscious and actually slip back downstream. And the air bubble curtain is intended to dislodge fish that might get caught up in barge tows as they go through the lock. So you can also think of it as like a fish gauntlet. And so, you know, if one of those pieces of protection doesn't work, then there are others in place as fail safes to make sure the carp don't get through that lock.
What does it mean for native species?
So, unfortunately, the same technologies that we keep Asian carp from moving through the lock will prevent native species from going through the lock. But there are plans in place to help bolster native species and to transfer them from below Brandon Road Lock to above the lock so that native species, you know, continue to exist in places further upstream.
And this plan was developed by the Army Corps of Engineers?
It was.
And how much confidence do they have that this will work?
I think they're pretty confident that it will work. They've done 5 years of study. They've had multiple public comment periods. And what they've come up with are the best technologies currently available to make sure that Asian carp don't make it to Lake Michigan.
We talk a lot about Asian carp, but what other invasive species are causing problems in the Great Lakes right now?
So there are a number of invasive species in the Great Lakes that were introduced through ballast water, which is discharged by ships coming in from other parts of the world to the Great Lakes. They discharge ballast water when they take on cargo, like grain or steel. And they've discharged things like zebra mussels, which are the reason that Lake Michigan is so clear and sort of looks like the Caribbean. But they also cause problems because they eat the bottom of the food chain and end up devastating native fish populations.
Well, it's easy to get fixated on things like Asian carp, but there's also this question about drinking water.
Yeah.
and safety issues around that. Lay out what was discussed around that issue.
Yeah, so it was really great to see the governors and premiers taking up drinking water as a central issue that they want to address. And one of the significant things that they did at their conference this weekend in Milwaukee was to ask the federal government to provide increased funding for something called the Safe Drinking Water Revolving Fund. And that funding provides federal dollars to the states to upgrade water infrastructure.
How much money are we talking about? Whether it's, you know, protecting the drinking water or we're talking about keeping invasive species out, there's got to be a pretty big price tag attached to it.
Yeah, when we're talking, I mean, just talking about drinking water, we need, across the eight Great Lakes states, $179 billion, that's billion with a B, over the next 20 years to replace drinking water infrastructure. But keep in mind that 40 million people are relying on the Great Lakes for their drinking water. And what we've seen is that federal investment has really decreased over the past few decades. And what that's meant is that water rates have gone up in communities around the region. That stresses low-income households and makes water less affordable. So the fact that the governors and premiers are coming together to call on their federal governments to provide more money to address this really critical issue and to do it in an equitable way is really important.
So that cost is shared between the U.S. and Canadian governments?
Well, so Canada is responsible for its water infrastructure and the United States is responsible for its water infrastructure. Both need work.
Mm-hmm. Is there a problem right in Lake Michigan that we don't talk about enough?
Well, I mean, I think there are a number of big issues facing Lake Michigan. Agricultural runoff is something that we don't think a lot about here in Chicago because obviously we don't have big farms on the shores of Lake Michigan here. But when you go into Wisconsin and Michigan, they do. And so we're seeing more harmful algal blooms in places like Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And to explain what an algal bloom is.
So that's where you essentially have too much nutrients in the water, and it causes that green slime that you might see crop up in the lake. And it's not just an issue in Lake Michigan. It's a big issue in Western Lake Erie. It's a big issue in rivers and lakes across the Great Lakes region.
And what does that mean for the health of the lake and for people who might want to use it either for recreation or fishing?
So harmful algal blooms are what they sound like, harmful. You don't want to swim when there are toxins present. I would say the poster child for this is Western Lake Erie, where in 2014, more than 500,000 people in and around the city of Toledo actually lost their drinking water for more than 2 days because a toxin in the algal bloom actually got into their drinking water system. And one of the great things that we saw Ohio, Michigan, and Ontario do at this meeting over the weekend in Milwaukee is they actually recommitted to a goal of reducing the pollution that's causing these harmful algal blooms in Lake Erie.
So in a best case scenario, what would you like to see come out of these conversations between the U.S. and Canada?
I think what I would like to see is a healthier Great Lakes for the people who live here, and also a real commitment to working together to address some of the difficult issues like agricultural pollution, like replacing, you know, water infrastructure, stopping Asian carp and other invasive species from the Great Lakes. I think they've made some significant commitments, and now we'll be watching to make sure that they actually take the actions to deliver on those commitments.
That's Molly Flanagan, Vice President of Policy at the Alliance for the Great Lakes. Molly, thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.